This is happening. I have like 2 pictures of you. I need more. Why, you see me every day, I said matter-of-factly. Come on, smartass. Humor me. Please. There was no way I could ever say no to that face. I turned my head towards the phone and smiled for real when I saw the two of us together, his strong arm around me, making me feel so safe, with a beautiful forest and rolling hills in the background as the sun shined down on us. Was perfect. I had chosen a dark purple sweater, jeans and boots to wear for the trip down. The effect the color had on my eyes was stunning. I had always considered Tessa beautiful, gorgeous even. But despite knowing we were identical, I had never quite seen myself that way, until now. Through an artist's eye, I could appreciate how truly breathtaking the two of us looked together. I want a copy of that, I told him. My phone dinged, and as I went to check it, he leaned down and kissed me. Already sent. See? That wasn't so bad, was it? I rolled my eyes and gave him another peck on the lips. The sun was just beginning to set, and I knew we still had a long way to go. We should hit the road, and you shouldn't have let me take up so much time, I scolded, getting back into the car and continued our drive to San Marco. At some point in the drive, I must have dozed off. I awoke suddenly with Chase's arm around me as I drooled against his shoulder. Hey, I said sleepily. How long was I out? A few hours. We're heading up the mountain now. It's the final stretch. Won't be long now. You okay? Do you need me to take over and finish driving? Nah, I'm good. It's still early. Sorry. I can never stay awake in the car if I'm not behind the wheel. He laughed. Good to know. Are you hungry? My stomach growled suddenly. And we both laughed. I'll take that as a yes. I'll call ahead and let them know we're almost there so Mom can have some dinner ready. Do they know we're coming in tonight? Nope, he said. What? You didn't tell them? Relax, Jenna. It's not like we need a reservation to go home. You don't, maybe. I can't believe you didn't tell them I was coming. Princess, they know you're coming. They are excited to meet you. Everything's going to be fine. I promise. His hand now rested on my thigh, and he gave it a squeeze that sent a jolt of pleasure cutting through my paranoia. I took a deep breath. I could do this. As we entered San Marco, I felt this strange sort of comfort. The entire place seemed to have that faint scent of Chase. Not Chase, I remembered, but Pack. It relaxed me a little, despite my concerns. We drove through a little town. It was quaint and far smaller than any town I'd ever been in. People were out talking to one another and just hanging around. There was a place called The Crate that seemed to be hopping. Young people were crammed into a cute little ice cream shop. I craned my neck to look, taking it all in. "Welcome to San Marco," Chase said, pulling off the main road and down a long wooded path, much like the driveway to our cabin. "And welcome home," he said, pulling up in front of a large, inviting house. It was brightly lit like they were waiting for us. He got out and grabbed our bags. I waited until he came around and opened my door, checking my appearance quickly in the mirror on the back of the visor. I grabbed my lip gloss to reapply before I got out. I wiped my sweaty palms on my jeans and nibbled on my lip. I love the taste of watermelon lip gloss, so it in no way dissuaded me from the nervous habit. Chase noticed. Chase always noticed. He dropped the bags to the ground and wrapped his arms around me, my back pinned against the Jeep. He lowered his mouth to mine and sucked my bottom lip into his. I fought back a grin. He seemed to do that a lot, and it inevitably calmed my nerves and caused a different sort of butterflies in my stomach. He deepened the kiss and made my knees shake. I sighed. He pulled back with a grin. You have nothing to worry about. I just nodded. I wasn't sure I could even talk after that anyway. He left one arm around me and led me towards the house. What about the bags? I asked when we hit the porch. Don't worry about it. I'll get them later. He didn't stop or knock, just walked right in, pulling me with him. I felt so out of place. A crashing noise came from another room and a ball bounced into the foyer right towards us. Chase stopped it with his foot, As a young dark-haired boy in pajamas and socks came slipping and sliding around the corner, abruptly stopping. His eyes were wide with excitement.
Uncle Chase?
He sounded like he couldn't believe what he was seeing. It only lasted a moment before he launched himself into Chase's expectant arms. After a quick hug, Chase set him down in those little arms wrapped around my waist.
Hi, Aunt Jenna, he squealed. They said you wouldn't be here till tomorrow.
Surprise, Chase said. I hugged the little man closer. You must be Oscar, I finally said, happy when my voice didn't crack.
Yep, that's me,
he said, letting go and stepping back to look me over.
Mom, Uncle Chase and Aunt Jenna are here,
he yelled over his shoulder. I stole a quick look at Chase, who just grinned and picked the boy up.
You monkey! How can we surprise anyone if you're going to tell the whole house?
He began tickling Oscar, who squealed in delight. People started coming from all directions. A petite woman with short blonde hair and pink highlights came bouncing down the stairs. Several people came from both directions on the main level. When Maddie came into view, I stopped holding my breath. She didn't hold back but walked right up to me and pulled me into an embrace. I know they can be a little overwhelming. Just remember to breathe. Everyone's excited to meet you, she whispered. I already knew that whispering in a house of wolves was pointless. But then again, she clearly made her point as people started taking a step back and giving us some space. A little louder, she said, Come on, let me introduce you around.
Mom said you weren't coming in till tomorrow,
the woman with the pink-streaked hair said.
Surprise!
Oscar said, mimicking Chase.
Oh, come on into the living room. Maddie, show her the way,
instructed an older lady who I knew must be Chase's mom. As we rounded the corner to the left, I saw her give Chase a big hug, and she had tears in her eyes. They followed behind us, her arm linked through his. The living room was huge. I'd never seen such a big space. There were at least 5 couches in just the one room. A monster-sized TV hung on one wall, and the back wall was lined with floor-to-ceiling windows that made it feel like you were outdoors. A chessboard sat on a table in the corner with 2 chairs. There was also a card table, and games and books lined several shelves flanking the big screen TV. One corner of the room was stacked high with toys. It was clear this was the hub of family life in the Weston house.
Mom?
Dad? Chase said, drawing my attention back to them. This is Jenna, my mate. I blushed at his candidness. Hi, it's nice to meet you, I said awkwardly, before his mother pulled me into a hug, followed immediately by his father. Chase had explained once before that wolves were very touchy creatures. I don't think it really hit me until that moment just what he had meant. My parents would never hug a stranger like that. Heck, they barely ever hugged me and Tessa.
I'm Jason. This is my mate, Mary,
the older man said, finally letting me go. I'm Jenna, I said, then chastised myself for it, 'cause, duh, Chase just told them that.
Welcome, Jenna, Mary said, misting up.
Mom, you're gonna freak her out.
Pull it together, the pink-haired girl said.
Don't be rude, Lily, Mary warned. I'm allowed to get a little emotional. My baby boy just brought home his mate.
Lily rolled her eyes. She pulled me into yet another hug.
Follow my lead, she whispered.
Hi, Jenna. I'm Lily, Chase's sister, she said a little louder.
Oh, was that your stomach? Have you guys not eaten?
My cheeks heated. I didn't realize my stomach rumbled, but I was starving.
Oh, let me heat something up real quick for you both, Mary said, smacking Chase on the arm.
You should have called and let me know. I would have had something ready when you arrived.
Chase gave her a grin I had never seen before. Something told me it was the one that he used to wrap his mother around his little finger and get away with anything.
It was a last-minute decision, Mom. I figured we'd surprise you,
I snorted.
Last minute? He had his bag packed and in the Jeep and was stalking me before I could even take a shower after class.
I let you take your shower, Chase argued.
I laughed. You scared the life out of me.
I really did, Chase defended. Then I grabbed her stuff and hit the road before she could recover.
His family was taking in the light bantering we had going on between us. So, basically, you kidnapped her, her mother pointed out. Chase shrugged and gave her that grin again. But I got her here, and we have a whole extra day home. Lily shook her head. You have serious issues, baby brother. As Mary turned to scold Lily, Chase made a face at her behind his mother's back. I couldn't believe it, and my face must have shown my shock, because Mary whipped around and Chase had that damn grin of pure innocence on his face before she saw him. Meanwhile, Lily stuck her tongue out at him. I couldn't even believe it. I would never in a million years act that way to my sister, but especially not in front of our prim and proper mother. Do I need to send both of you to your rooms? She asked them. If I can take Jenna with me, I'm okay with that, Chase confessed, and I smacked him hard in the gut, and then wanted to crawl in a hole and die of embarrassment for my behavior. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Weston, I immediately apologized. It's Mary, she told me firmly, and no apology needed. I've always had a soft spot for my baby. He needs a strong woman to stand up to his shit. She said it with such a straight face that I fought back the need to laugh, until the entire room erupted. Chase wrapped his arms around me and hugged me close to him. He was laughing, too. Mom, you've had a long day. Just relax. I'll take the lovebirds down to the crate. Maddie, you want to call and have Liam meet us there?
Yeah, sure. That sounds great, Maddie agreed. That's not necessary. It'll only take a moment to warm up leftovers for them, and they just got here. I'm sure they are exhausted, Mary said.
I slept most of the way, but I'm fine with whatever, I told them.
Relax, Mom. You weren't expecting us till tomorrow anyway. We'll go hang out tonight. I promise we won't be out too late, Chase said, and his mother conceded.
Lily was on the phone and heading for the door. She started talking and then stopped and turned around.
Mom, Kels is about to call a sitter, she said in a
tattletale voice I imagined she reserved for her siblings.
No, she isn't, Mary Weston said. Tell her to bring that baby over here on her way. Oscar's staying the night, so he and Xander can have a sleepover.
Yay!
Oscar cheered.
Thanks, Mom. She'll be by in a few, Lily said, hanging up the phone.
Instead of turning towards the front door, Lily kept walking down the hall and started banging on a door.
Jesus, what's going on? Kyle said when he opened the door. What's the matter?
Lily nodded my way.
Chase and Jenna got in early, so stop working and come to the crate with us.
I smiled and gave him a small wave. It was nice to see a familiar face. Maddie walked up behind me.
Okay, Liam's going to meet us there. Let's go.
Did you call Kelsey?
Kyle asked Lily.
Of course I did. She's bringing Z over here to have a sleepover with Oscar, then meeting us there.
Okay, let me just finish things up and I'll head over with her when she gets here, Kyle said.
Lily rolled her eyes again. I was beginning to think it was just a normal look for her.
Fine. See you there. But you better not bail on us again.
Kyle grinned from ear to ear, and I could tell there was definitely a story there, and that it was probably one I really didn't want to know. We all shuffled out of the house. Chase ran ahead and grabbed our bags that were still sitting in the driveway next to the Jeep. He threw them back into the house, and I heard him ask Oscar to take them up to his room. I climbed into the Jeep as Maddie agreed to ride with Lily, and they argued over who would call Elise. I knew that was Chase's other sister, but I hadn't met her yet. Or Kelsey. Their family dynamics overwhelmed me somewhat, and yet it just felt right, being there with them all. When Chase climbed into the driver's seat, he turned and looked at me.
Hey, beautiful. What are you thinking about?
It had dawned on me when he asked Oscar to take our bags up to his room that we'd be sleeping together, in his parents' house. I hadn't even considered the logistics of that before. Are you sure your parents are okay with us sleeping together? I knew mine sure wouldn't be. He looked at me with his eyebrow quirk like it was a crazy question to ask.
I'm sure, Jenna. We're mated. Trust me, it's okay. Mated is basically the same as human marriage, only more. They can divorce, but for us, it's forever.
I had never thought about mating quite like that.
Wait, human marriage? I asked.
Does that mean wolves don't marry?
Chase looked at me like I was crazy.
No. Do panthers?
Well, yeah, we do. I had dreamed about my wedding day since I was a little girl. It had never occurred to me that I wouldn't have one.
Why?
He asked simply.
Why? Because that's what people do. They fall in love, they get married, and then they have kids.
That's what humans do. Shifters find their mate. If they're as lucky as I am, they're one true mate. They create an unbreakable bond. It's private and it's beautiful. They create a life together. They have pups.
Or cubs,
I interrupted, correcting him.
Or cubs, he conceded in our case. Babies and grow old together. If the bond fully matures, they live until one dies, and the other follows his or her mate into death.
He looked at me hard, studying my reaction.
Do you want to get married, Jenna?
He finally asked. I shrugged. I guess I always assumed I would. Most panthers don't complete their mating bond until their honeymoon. Marriage first. I guess, since we've already done that, it doesn't really matter.
You don't sound convinced. If you want to get married, we will,
he said matter-of-factly.
You'd do that for me even though it would mean nothing to you?
I asked skeptically.
Look, it's nothing I would have thought of, but that doesn't mean it would mean nothing to me.
Liam and Maddie got married last year. Wedding, dress, the ring, the name change, the whole bit.
Even legally adopted Oscar at the ceremony. It's not that we can't get married if we want to.
Why did Liam go through all that if it's not important to the wolves? I asked, more curious than anything.
Oscar, he said simply. Oscar was raised in the human world. He didn't understand their bonding and called my brother out on it. He took the kid's words to heart and made it right for his family.
What about taxes and stuff? I mean, you have an entire town, all shifters. If no one gets married, doesn't that look suspicious or something?
We have a perfectly legal clerk, of course. She files the paperwork for the government on every mated pair, so I guess, legally, yes, we are considered married. In a little less than 4 months, ours will be filed, unless you want to have a real wedding.
Of course I wanted a real wedding, but I didn't want to tell him that. Did it really matter? I'd have to do some soul-searching at a later date to figure out the answer to that. But right then, we were pulling up in front of the bar I had seen on the drive-in. And I really hoped they had real food, not just fried bar snacks.
Chase, Chapter 25. Jenna had surprised me with talk of marriage. I made a mental note to discuss the idea with Liam while we were there. I wanted his take on whether it was worth all the trouble wedding seemed to be, or not. For now, walking into the crate with my mate on my arm was the best feeling ever. We met Lily and Maddie in the parking lot and walked in with them. Patrick and Elise were already there. He stood and hugged me before turning to hug Jenna. Hi, I'm Elise. You must be Jenna. I loved my family, but I especially loved how they were welcoming my mate. Hi, it's nice to meet you, Jenna said. Hey, Patrick. It's good to see you again, Jenna. Once the pleasantries were over, we settled down, pulling three tables together to accommodate all of us. Liam arrived talking to Cole Anderson. Cole was one of Kyle's betas and on the PAC council. He also owned a tattoo parlor in town. After introducing him to Jenna, I asked him to join us. Kelsey and Kyle were the last to arrive as Misty came by to take our orders. What's good? Jenna asked. I'm starving. Burgers. My siblings and I said in unison. Trust us, they're the best, I assured her. There was a local band of high schoolers playing on the small stage. Not so long ago, that had been me. When they heard I was in the audience, they begged me to sing with them. One even offered me his guitar to play. With my siblings cheering me on, it was hard to say no. But when Jenna leaned over and asked me to please do it because she'd never heard me play, I was on stage as fast as lightning. Playing with the band, eating crate burgers, hanging with my family, and spending time with Jenna pretty much meant a perfect night for me. By the end of the evening, as we started breaking up and heading home, Jenna was already part of the family. I could feel the shift and acceptance from each of my siblings. The girls were busy making plans for Saturday, and Jenna was being persuaded to at least stay through Mom's Tuesday night family dinner. And she said yes. I was exhausted and elated as we made it back to the house. Mom was up waiting, as she always did. She never went to bed until she knew all her babies were home safe and sound. I walked Jenna up to my room, then came down and told Mom good night. Sorry we were out so late, Mom. Oh, it's fine, sweetie. It makes my heart happy to see all my babies together and enjoying each other. We really did. It was a great evening, I confirmed. I like Jenna. She's good for you. I can see why you love her so much, my mom said. Mom, I started to talk, but she interrupted. Don't say a word, son. I can see how in love you are, and you best be telling that girl just how much you love her every single day. It's not always going to be easy for you two. You've chosen a different path, and not everyone will be accepting of that. All relationships have their hurdles, though, and as long as you have true love, you're going to be just fine. I hugged my mother tight, thankful to be blessed with such an amazing woman in my life. If it weren't for her and my father's love, I don't know if I would have had the strength to go through with the bond. I had already heard and seen more prejudice in the last week at school since word of us just dating had spread than I'd experienced in my entire life. But my parents showed me unconditional love, and I knew that no matter what, they'd be supportive of my decision, which really wasn't a decision at all, because Jenna Lockhart was my true mate. I headed back upstairs. Nothing further needed to be said. When I got in the room, Jenna was already in her pajamas, sitting on the bed. She looked adorably cute. I went to my suitcase and pulled out the dampener. Best damn gift I ever got. I plugged it into the wall. Chase, is that the dampener? Jenna asked. Yeah, best device ever invented. Why did you bring the dampener? I looked at her like she was crazy. Why do you think? Liam and Maddie stayed over for Christmas, and he leaves his in his office. I shuddered. I'm not doing that to Lily or my parents. She laughed. You actually think we're having sex with your parents down the hall? Instead of answering her, I stripped down to nothing before her eyes. Do you really think I even bothered to pack pajamas? Her eyes widened and she licked her lips. The smell of her arousal immediately started filling the room, but there was a stubborn determination lingering there too. We are not doing that with your parents down the hall. Wanna bet? I asked, jumping onto the bed and grabbing her around the waist before she could escape. She giggled and thrashed, trying to get out of my grasp before eventually settling down and conceding. I kissed her softly. I know we're both tired and it's late, but it's going to be a long, hard weekend if you insist on being that stubborn. And don't think for a moment I'm not going to try everything in my power to get my way. It was both a threat and a promise of things to come. We slept peacefully that night in each other's arms. Each day in San Marco was better than the last. Jenna truly fit right in with my family. I don't think she ever realized just how easy she was to love. My sisters adored her, spending all day Saturday spoiling and pampering her with a girls' day at a spa in the city. My brothers and I met up with the girls at a nice restaurant when they were done. By the time I saw Jenna, she was glowing and happier than I had ever seen her with anyone besides me. Her hair was sleek and shiny, and her violet eyes accentuated by some kind of makeup on her face. She was breathtaking, and my heart nearly stopped in my chest at the first sight of her walking in. It had been a surreal moment. One I would not soon forget. We danced, we laughed, and we celebrated life that night. I didn't want the evening to end, but I also could only stand sharing her for so long before we headed back home. The door to my bedroom had barely shut behind her before I had her pinned against it, capturing her with a kiss. She gave no resistance when my tongue parted her lips and sought to explore her delicious mouth. her usual scent combined with a slightly strange but appealing smell. Usually, perfumes and smelly stuff hurt my head and made me sneeze. But whatever this was, it seemed to highlight her natural scent and drive me mad. Breathless, she placed both palms flat against my chest and pushed back. She kept pushing until the back of my legs hit the bed and I sat down hard. She stood before me with a sultry look on her face and desire in her eyes. I tried to stand up and go to her, but she stuck out a perfectly polished finger and shook it side to side without saying a word, so I sat back down. A new sort of confidence surrounded her actions. Slowly she turned as I took her all in, devouring her with my eyes. She backed up to me and signaled for me to unzip her dress as she watched me over her shoulder. I wanted to touch her so badly and feel her soft skin under my fingertips. But as soon as the zipper was lowered, she stepped away and turned around to face me again. Her stare had me pinned to my seat. She lowered one shoulder, exposing my bond mark as my breath quickened. With a sly grin, she dropped the dress entirely. My heart nearly leapt from my chest when I saw the black, lacy lingerie she wore beneath the dress. It was the hottest thing I had ever seen in my life. The fabric was nearly see-through and left little to the imagination, not that I hadn't already memorized every inch of her body. Stockings rose to mid-thigh, attached to the upper part with some little clamps. They looked intricate and like potential trouble for my shaking hands. I briefly wondered how disappointed she would be when I ripped them from her body. The hooks attached on the other end to the lacy see-through material that covered much of her body. The material stopped just above her nipples where her breasts crested the top like an open invitation. And as my eyes washed back down, my breath caught as I realized the outfit was entirely crotchless. Unable to sit still much longer, I rose and growled as I closed the gap between us. She didn't push me away this time, but her breath caught with my unexpected roughness when I grabbed her by the ass and lifted her easily. She wrapped her legs around my waist and I carried her back to the bed. I stood back, my breathing already erratic, and I hadn't even touched her yet. Seeing her laying there, dressed up for me, she looked like the embodiment of every sexual fantasy I'd ever had. Without grace or a care, I quickly discarded my own clothes and climbed into bed with her. When I went to touch, she smacked my hand away, pushing my shoulder until I rolled over on my back. She climbed on top of me, straddling my waist. "I've been spoiled and pampered all day. Now it's your turn," she said with a sly grin. I gulped as she started at my bond mark and worked her way down my body, kissing and licking every inch. It felt as if she were marking me in a whole new way. Our eyes locked and I couldn't look away, transported to some other plane of existence that only included Jenna. It was the most erotic experience of my life. Later, when we were both sated and covered in a light sheen of sweat before sleep pulled her under, I held her close and told her how much I loved her. My heart was full. I'm not sure what I had expected in a mate, honestly. I was still young enough that I had never given it much thought, but somehow I knew this was far more than I could have ever hoped for. In that moment, I knew what I needed to do. Jenna said she'd always imagined she'd get married someday. I had watched enough Hallmark Channel movies with my mother over the years to understand what that meant and how girls could obsess over such a thing from even a young age. If that's what she wanted, I would see to it. Liam's wedding really hadn't been so bad. It had even been a little fun. But it was even more than that, because resting there, exhausted from the best night of my life, holding my mate, I knew I wanted this every day of my life. Yes, she was my mate, and that was a greater bond than any human tradition. But I wanted her to be my wife, too. I wanted her to carry my name and someday my children. Closing my eyes, I could see our entire future before me. I drifted off to sleep with a smile on my face.
Jenna, Chapter 26. Coming to San Marco was probably the best decision I ever made. Chase was right. Everyone I met had been welcoming and friendly. I didn't think I ever felt so accepted anywhere in my entire life. Rumors had already spread about Chase mating outside of the Wolves, so there were a lot of strange looks and questions, but nothing rude or unsupportive, just genuine curiosity. I had a lot to learn about the Wolves, and when Kyle and Chase finally sat me down to discuss their customs and what they called the challenges, I think I took it better than they expected. It wasn't that I was completely naive to other shifter customs. Wolves, bears, lions, gorillas. Lots of the bigger predatory animals had similar archaic rites of passage. "How long?" I asked calmly, stunning them in mid-conversation as we sat in Kyle's office. "What?" Kyle asked. "How long does the challenge period last?"
"Typically 4 months, but I made notifications the second Chase told me you'd made it, and so you're well into month one already. So far, no challenges have been made. I think people are still stunned by the two of you. That'll wear off a little bit since people have met you, Jenna."
I shrugged. "You two look worried. Don't be. The odds of someone challenging Chase are slim. After all, what other wolf would actually want a panther mate?" Chase growled at the thought and I shot him a look. "I can handle your stupid challenges if it comes to it. My panther is as big, if not bigger, than your females. I've been taught fighting techniques since before I could walk, and extensive training once my panther emerged. My dad saw to it that Tessa and I would always be able to defend ourselves. I'm not fond of the idea of killing another being for sport or placement, but I know it's not uncommon among other animal species, and I'll do what I have to do." Chase's face beamed with pride, while Kyle's jaw dropped a little.
"Okay, well, I'll be sure to warn our females that you are a lethal fighting machine ready to accept their challenges then," Kyle finally said when the shock wore off.
"That's my girl," Chase said proudly. "Kyle, you and Kelsey had your challenge period lowered. Can Jenna and I get in on that?" I looked over at Kyle curiously, wondering if that was true and if they made exceptions because of his alpha status. He looked slightly uncomfortable by the question. Clearing his throat, he answered,
"Chase, there were some extenuating circumstances regarding that."
"Oh, I know. You guys always ignore me since I'm the baby of the family, like I'm too young to understand. But I'm listening. I know all about how your mating signs came on faster and stronger, and why they really shortened the challenges for you," Chase said, staring his brother down. I found it odd that Chase was looking directly at Kyle. Though I saw him squirm a little in his chair, it hadn't gone unnoticed that no one truly looked the alpha in the eyes, except his mate. Panthers and other big cats averted their eyes to my dad as a sign of respect. To look at him directly was a threat and challenge. I had thought maybe the same was true for wolves, but Chase was clearly staring Kyle down. When his squirming became shaking, I watched him drop his gaze and made a mental note to ask him about it later.
"So what are you trying to say, Chase? If you really know the details of all that, then you know our bond strengthened faster because of Kelsey's, extra circumstances. You and Jenna have a strong bond. It's easy to feel it when you're together. But are you really saying it's more than it should be at this stage?"
Chase grinned back at his brother. "Did you know that the sacred mating signs differ among species?" Kyle perked up with interest.
"Go on."
"For example, talking to my new little brother, Chad, who's a squirrel and rarely shuts up, I've learned that the first sign of a squirrel mating is telepathy."
"How's that possible? That's one of the last stages,"
Kyle argued.
"Yes, for a wolf, who dominates in the emotional connection phase, first sensing his mate in location and emotional state."
He paused, letting it sink in a little as he reached over and threaded his fingers through mine.
"Panther's dominance is in physical connections, Kyle, whereas that is the final stage of bonding for us."
"Are you saying you can already feel each other physically?"
Kyle asked. "It's not enough to kill him, but if I go into the challenges right now, he would endure every emotional and physical impact I faced from it. As best as we've been able to determine, Both of our bonding symptoms are coming on equally at the same time. We're in what my people would call stage two, only times two, because the signs are different for both of us, I explained.
If I were to cut you right now, would he feel it?
Kyle asked me seriously. Chase growled in outrage. Simmer down, pup. I need to know. He would feel the sensation of it, yes. It would hurt him. But if I bled, it's not like his skin would slice, too. Yet. That will come in time, but usually takes a little longer, I clarified.
Shit. The pain of it might be enough. I'll take it to the council and we'll make a determination. Thank you for letting me know. I realize it's not exactly easy to discuss your bond. At least it wasn't for me. But this is the kind of information I do need to know. I would never have suspected anything like that was possible, but I'm not exactly up to speed on interspecies bonding, especially for true mates. Until you two. I didn't even know such a thing was possible.
It warmed my heart that Kyle believed we were true mates, and I fought down the emotions welling up inside. I had seen the looks and heard the whispers since word of me dating Chase had gotten out around campus. My hearing had improved significantly since the bond, and I didn't really like it. I hated hearing what everyone was saying about us, but I knew the general consensus was that it was only temporary because a Weston would never settle for a compatible mate, and dogs and cats could never be true mates. They were wrong, but having someone like Kyle acknowledge it as truth caused overwhelming gratification. That wasn't the only meeting we had with Kyle during our visit. We also met with the council, which I found a little more intimidating. Everyone was fascinated with the idea that a wolf and a panther could really be true mates. We did find a few skeptics, but nothing like I'd imagined. We were originally supposed to leave on Monday. That's what I'd agreed to. But Mary had been so welcoming, taking me into her home and her family, that I couldn't disappoint her by missing out on my first Weston family Tuesday night dinner. I could feel Chase's happiness through our bond when I told him I thought we should stay over till at least Wednesday. Tuesday came much too quickly, and I was surprisingly nervous before dinner. My family only ate formally on holidays. Most of the time, Daddy was too busy with work, and Mom was too, with her various fundraisers and ladies' groups, to ever spend much thought on dinner. I liked the idea of big family meals, though. I thought I would be stressed and overwhelmed with Chase's large family, but I wasn't like that at all. Jenna, can you help me in the kitchen? Mary called up to me. It still amazed me that my hearing had become so sensitive. I was upstairs in Chase's room, going through my wardrobe for the 100th time, trying to decide what to wear, and I knew she was downstairs somewhere. It was the craziest thing. Coming, I said in my normal voice, because I knew she'd hear it without me having to yell. I pulled on a pink sweater with a hoodie and my favorite pair of jeans and headed downstairs in my sock feet. I wasn't sure what she wanted, so comfort trumped style. Walking into the kitchen, I saw Mary leaned over and waving a hot pad at something in the oven. Oh, thank goodness. Can you help me lift this? I grabbed two more hot pads from the counter and took the side of the oven opposite Mary. I bent down to pick up a huge cookie sheet from the largest oven I had ever seen in a normal kitchen, and was shocked at how heavy it was. Oh my gosh, that is heavy, I commented. I can handle the weight okay. It's the size that always gets me, she admitted. It's just easier with an extra set of hands. Thank you, dear. She kicked the oven door shut with her foot as we lifted. Pots covered the stovetop, so I wasn't sure where to go. Right over there. We'll just set it down on the counter here, she advised. Perfect, she said, clapping her hands in delight once the enormous pan was safely on the counter. It smells wonderful. What is that? I asked. Oh, nothing fancy. It's hams. Hams? As in plural? I questioned. She removed the aluminum foil cover to reveal six large hams. They were sitting in some sort of orange-colored liquid I couldn't quite place. Orange juice, she whispered. Old family secret. Always cook your hams with an inch of OJ. It keeps them moist, and the flavor blends amazingly with smoked hams. I looked around the kitchen in awe of the amount of food I saw.
I thought it was just immediate family at your infamous Tuesday night Weston family dinners. She grinned. Oh, it is, dear. 6 hams? Isn't that a bit much?
My little family has grown quickly. There are 13 of us now, and if you weren't aware, wolves like to eat, especially their meat.
I laughed. I did know that. I just didn't realize what that would look like for so many.
Oh, this is nothing. Wait till you see a pack meeting meal.
I can't wait, I told her genuinely.
Well, if you guys stick around through the weekend, we have a pack run on Saturday, she confessed.
What exactly happens at a pack run? I asked. Mary excitedly motioned for me to sit down.
We hold pack runs once a month. Not all packs do them that frequently.
The entire pack joins. We have a huge fellowship meal at the pack house just before sunset, as the moon is beginning to rise. Kyle will call the pack together just out back here. He'll say a few words and everyone shifts, then runs toward the woods. For the first few minutes, we're all running as one. Then large groups will break off together, and eventually some will separate out and run as couples, or even solo, on occasion. I really don't know how to explain it. There's just something so magical about pack runs.
She spoke with a dreamy voice, like she was remembering some romantic pack runs of her past. I couldn't even imagine what a sight that would be. So many wolves, all changing and running together.
How many wolves are there in Weston Pack? I asked.
She shrugged. I honestly don't know for certain, but more than 500. Probably less than 1,000, though. I could be wrong on that. Only the Alpha knows for certain.
I guess I'd stick out pretty bad in a setting like that. Probably best not to rub it in so soon, I admitted.
I'm assuming your fur is solid black? I nodded.
And you're probably as big as an average wolf. Maybe a little leaner. It wasn't really a question, but I nodded again anyway.
Chase's wolf is solid black, you know.
Yes, I've seen it many times.
I was certain you had. Weston has many solid black wolves. You wouldn't look quite so out of place as you imagine. Maybe if you were a jaguar with defined spots, or a tiger, who is much larger and has different coloring. But a black panther isn't going to stand out among us as much as you think. If you were a rabbit or a fox, I might worry about you getting eaten. But I am certain you will be able to hold your own. Plus, Chase would never let anything happen to you. He would never leave your side on the run.
I shuddered at her words about being eaten. As a large animal of prey, I knew it was a natural instinct, but I could never stomach raw meat like that. On the rare occasion I had given Holian to my panther, she couldn't go through with it either. Fortunately, it was an acceptable custom for my kind to deliver prey to the king, and so that is what I would do with kills. I didn't know if that would be acceptable in the pack, though.
Do you kill and eat small prey often? Do you have hunts?
They're like your runs, only for food, I tried to explain.
No, dear, we don't. There are some who enjoy eating off the trails. No one will think anything of it if you prefer that.
I must have made a face because she laughed.
I know that face well. Elise could never stomach a kill either.
I've not had a choice, really, I confessed. But we thankfully have the option to eat or present it to the king. Daddy always got my kills on a hunt.
There are some wolves that still believe a hunt is a rite of passage, and they take their children out almost as soon as they've shifted for the first time. Others find the practice archaic and unnecessary, much like other shifters find our challenges. Now, have Kyle and Chase properly explained the challenges to you?
Yes, ma'am. We've had several meetings and sparring sessions. I'm well equipped to hold my own in a battle.
Wonderful. You don't know how relieved I am to hear it, Mary admitted.
With my new upgraded hearing, I heard the front door open. I didn't have to hear the sound of voices, though, because Chase's scent hit me like a ton of bricks. I gasped, a little taken aback, and sniffed the air around me.
Mary watched me closely.
Are you okay?
I shrugged.
Weird stuff has been happening since the bond, I confessed, knowing I was blushing just mentioning the bond to Chase's mom.
How so?
I sighed.
I really needed someone to talk to. I'm not talking about the bonding symptoms. Those are normal-ish. It's the other stuff. Panthers don't have super smelling and hearing like wolves, but mine have improved tenfold since we completed our mating. I can hear almost as good as a wolf, and just now when the door opened, I smelled Chase, like smelled him as clearly as if he were right here next to me. Mary considered my words. Hearing and smell are extremely important to wolves. It sounds as if, along with the bond symptoms, you're also acquiring our greatest assets, too. Has Chase been experiencing the same? I shrugged. We haven't really talked about it. Well, then, what would be the most important attributes of a panther? I thought for a moment. Speed and agility, I suppose. Night vision, maybe. She nodded. That sounds reasonable. Let's go test this theory. Mary was up and walking out of the room, heading for the front door before I realized what was happening. I jumped up and ran after her. Oh, look. It's the majority of my babies here early. This never happens, she accused. Liam looked sheepish.
Something smells really good, Mom.
He leaned down and kissed his mother's cheek. Don't you try to butter me up now. Your father's in with Kyle. Go get them. We have a slight change in plans for Tuesday night dinner. How about a little activity first? She looked back over her shoulder at me and grinned conspiratorially. Without question, Lily went to get Kyle and Jason. Maddie walked upstairs where the kids were playing. I'll call Elise and Patrick if you'd like, Kelsey offered. Tell them to stay put. We're heading their way, Mary said. She directed everyone into vehicles and took the lead in the first car herself. Chase and I had been told to ride with her and Jason. I sat in the back seat next to my mate, looking awkwardly out the window as we drove over to Patrick and Elise's house. You okay? Chase whispered. I nodded without looking his way. Jenna, what's wrong? I looked over at him, finally, and smiled. Nothing, but I think you're about to be tested. Sorry.
Tested for what?
He asked.
Speed, his mother interrupted. What's all this about, Mary?
Jason asked. So she relayed the information I had told her. He seemed to take it in stride and nodded his approval with obvious interest.
Why didn't you tell me?
Chase asked me. I shrugged. I wasn't sure at first. It was kind of a slow process, not one defining moment. Okay, so the smell thing a few minutes ago took me back a little, but my hearing has been steadily improving. I knew from hanging out at the doghouse what my hearing limitations were around wolves. After we mated, it seemed to improve some. At first, I thought I was just used to it and it wasn't really any different. But then little things started happening that I really took notice of, like walking around campus last week with everyone whispering and talking about us.
Shit, I never wanted you to hear all that, Chase said.
Language, Chase, his mother said sternly.
Sorry, Mom.
Coming here, it was kind of obvious. I think all the new sounds made it a little clearer, I confessed.
So why is my speed being tested? Chase asked. If Jenna is experiencing heightened attributes of wolves, your mother wants to see if the same is happening for you. Panthers are well known for their speed and agility, his father said. Do we have to do this in front of the entire family? Chase asked.
Son, there's nothing to be worried about. Your siblings have always been supportive of you, Mary told him. But he didn't respond, just turned and looked at his window. Hey, what's wrong? If you don't want to do this, you don't have to. We were just curious, I told him. Chase nodded.
You might as well know. My wolf isn't as fast as my siblings. Even as a little boy, long before my wolf surfaced, I was just never fast. I was big and tough, just slow. So yeah, speed tests aren't exactly my idea of family fun time. And with a name like Chase, everyone always expected me to be fast. It's just not me. Plus, I run every single day, both in my fur and my skin. You know that, Jenna. Don't you think I would have noticed if something was changing?
No, I told him. You run to a steady cadence. I've never seen you just let go and run, so I'm not sure you would have noticed.
He sighed and looked sad. I didn't have to hear him say the words to understand he had been bullied as a kid for not being the fastest. I was certain being an Alpha's kid didn't help any, either. We arrived at Elise's, and they came outside as everyone got out, standing around waiting for instructions. Xander and Oscar were already wandering off to play in the field.
Okay, Mom. We're all here. Now, what's going on?
Kyle asked. You don't have to do this, if you don't want to, I said to Chase. All eyes turned our way. He closed his eyes and took a deep breath.
Yeah, I do,
he finally said, quickly stripping off his clothes and shifting. His massive wolf rubbed up against me, letting me know it was okay. He always took my breath away. Such a magnificent animal.
Jenna, I know panthers are short-burst sprinters, whereas we are more distance runners. What do you think your short-burst speed is?
Mary asked. Panther animals can hit up to 50 miles per hour, but shifters are much faster. The fastest I've been clocked is 0 to 72 in 10 seconds. Patrick whistled.
Girl, that is fast.
I shrugged. I can't sustain anywhere near that speed.
Okay, Elise, mark off the half-mile and one-mile marks. Take Liam and Maddie with you for that,
Mary instructed. Jason sat back, looking amused with his mate. I had a feeling that when Mary Weston set her mind to something, an act of God himself wouldn't stop her.
Kelsey, since you hold the record for the fastest known wolf, I'd like you to race him first.
Kelsey gave Kyle a helpless look. He smiled and walked over, putting his arm around his mate and nodding at her.
I'm sorry, Mary. I can't.
You're going to have to use Kyle instead, Kelsey said. The look on Mary's face confirmed she was not a woman used to being told no.
Mom, listen to her. She can't.
Kyle said, exaggerating the word can't. I quickly looked back at Kelsey, wondering if they were trying to say what I thought they were saying. There was only one reason a female shifter wouldn't, or rather, couldn't, shift. Kyle leaned over and kissed Kelsey's cheek before rubbing her stomach.
Mom, she can't shift,
he said, trying to make his point, confirming my suspicions. Mary gasped.
You mean...
They were both nodding confirmation. We were going to tell you all tonight at the family dinner, Kelsey said, happy tears in her eyes as everyone started hugging her and giving their congratulations. Chase howled and Liam, Maddie, and Elise came running back to hear the good news. Maddie started crying.
Stupid pregnancy hormones, she said, wiping tears from her face.
I wasn't sure how far along Maddie was, but she was definitely showing. It was crazy. I could see a shift in the size of her belly just since the week before. I didn't have enough experience with pregnancies to even guess when she might be due. But I loved the idea that both she and Kelsey were pregnant at the same time. Elise walked up next to me and put an arm around my shoulder.
Planning on joining them anytime soon?
Oh, God, no, I said, a little too quickly. I was still in college. Chase and I had just mated. We needed time together. I wasn't ready to have a baby or even think about it. The horror at the thought must have shown on my face. Elise laughed.
Same. Lily's not even mated yet, and with her massive crush on Cole Anderson, her true mate could probably walk up and slap her, and she'd be too blinded in lust to notice.
Lily snorted, hearing her, but didn't argue it.
You guys will just have to wait for me then, so our babies will one day have cousins close in age to play with too, she said.
I shrugged. Oscar and Xander seem close, despite the age gap. Our kids will be fine. Someday, I added, reinforcing that someday would not be any time soon. Elise squeezed my shoulder.
Just wait. The pressure hasn't begun yet, but it will. Mom loves the idea of a house full of grandpups.
Or cubs? I asked.
You see Oscar out there?
She pointed to him. I nodded. Half pup, half cub.
You really think any one of us loved that boy any less because of it?
I shook my head as my eyes started burning while fighting back tears. The thought of my kids being loved as much as I'd witnessed these people love Oscar was too much.
Someday, Elise said, causing me to laugh instead of cry.
As the excitement of Kelsey's news began to die down, Mary got back to the issue at hand.
Okay, well, Kyle will use you then instead. Mary finally said. Now get on with it. Dinner's getting cold.
Kyle stripped and shifted. I averted my eyes. I knew nudity was not a big deal for shifters, but my family was just more private about it. I think felines in general were more prude when it came to such things. And while Mary's earlier description of a pack run had intrigued me, it wasn't until that moment that it dawned on me the sheer number of naked people that would entail if they were all to shift at once. I looked back up to find everyone staring at me. I forgot that I would need to shift in front of everyone else, too. I felt awkward and exposed. I turned my back to them and started to remove my shirt. A growl sounded just behind me. I looked over my shoulder just in time to see Elise roll her eyes and start to walk away. All other backs were towards me as my wolf stood watch, giving me the privacy he must have known I needed. I made quick work of my clothes and shifted to stand in my place beside Chase's magnificent wolf. My panther rubbed up against him and purred. Mary turned back around at my sounds and froze. She clapped her hands together and smiled.
Jenna, dear, your panther is as gorgeous as you.
I nodded my large head in acknowledgement.
Okay, Chase, take Jenna to the lineup. The rest of you, back in place, she instructed.
I followed Chase to where Kyle's wolf stood. I hadn't looked at him earlier and was surprised to find a very large brown wolf. For some reason, it seemed odd to me. Chase's was black, so I guess I had assumed all Weston Pack wolves were black. I mean, I knew wolves came in a variety of colors. I just assumed those in a pack had similar colorings. Or maybe that was just because of all the purity crap my daddy had ingrained in us growing up. Coloring was so important to him that it had never once dawned on me that wolves, in the same family especially, wouldn't all look similar. Mary instructed us to line up. It was half a mile to Elise, and we were told to run as fast as we could to that line, one at a time for accurate timing. Kyle took off first. He was fast, but I knew he was nowhere near as fast as I was. Next, Mary signaled me to go. With a quick burst of adrenaline, I took off. I loved the feel of the wind running over my short fur. I pushed ahead as fast as my legs would allow, and didn't even begin to slow until I flew by Elise. Stopping took almost another half mile, and I could see Patrick just up ahead. As I turned to head back, Chase blew past me. I couldn't believe it. He was so fast he was practically a blur. He finally slowed around Patrick and headed back. I could see shock in his big brown eyes. The others were talking animatedly when we returned to the starting line, confirming my suspicions. Chase had gotten faster.
Well, wow! That was really fast, Chase, Lily said excitedly. I've never seen a wolf that fast. Should he run the full 5 miles? I bet he's faster than Kelsey even.
Maybe, Jason said. Remember, if he's truly getting his speed from his bond to Jenna, panthers are short-distance runners.
I nodded my agreement.
But if she merely enhanced him, and wolves are distance runners, it's possible he'll see an improvement there, too.
Mary argued.
Perhaps, Jason conceded. Do we want to test him tonight, or head back for that delicious food that has been tormenting me all afternoon?
I'm very curious, but I know you all must be starving. Let's head back and we'll do this another day. I think it's safe to say that his speed has definitely received an upgrade.
With the dismissal, Kyle quickly shifted back. I turned away again. Would I ever stop feeling so self-conscious with that? Chase nipped at my shoulder and motioned his head towards the woods. I looked back at Mary.
Go on. We'll meet you back at the house, she said,
picking up our clothes as they all headed for the vehicles. Chase started jogging for the woods and I followed. When we hit the trees with a low-lying branch, I leapt onto it. Chase stopped and looked up at me. I chirped at him to follow. He shook his head. I chirped again. He sighed. I could see it in his entire body. But he jumped, landing easily, albeit not very gracefully, next to me. I wasn't sure he could actually do it, and yet there he was, a wolf in a tree. The height must have made him dizzy and uncomfortable, because he wavered and started to fall to the ground. I was relieved to see him land on all fours. The look he shot back up at me was comical. I silently jumped down and licked him before taking off into the woods. We ran and played. I had no idea where we were, but Chase carefully led us through, and before I knew it, we were exiting the forest just behind his parents' house.